Outside the pulpit, ministers need to work more on their listening skills. That's our key sentence as we welcome you to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Mames, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, preaching is important. After all, that's why we have the Sermon Coach website. But I'm wondering if who a minister is outside the pulpit influences how people listen when he or she is in the pulpit.
My feeling, Dean, is that when you have pastor-congregation conflicts, almost always those are a result of what happens not in the pulpit but outside the pulpit. And I have this strong conviction, partly learned from my own experience, that ministers are far better at talking than they are at listening. And until they begin to develop the skill of listening, which is a definite skill, it can profoundly affect how people listen to them, not only in conversation or in small groups, whatever, but when they're in the pulpit as well. I know of individuals who, though they're good communicators, people have stopped listening to them because of their inability outside of the pulpit to stop talking. They talk, talk, talk. That's what they've been trained to do, is to talk. And what other professional, unless it's a politician maybe, but politicians have their own negative side. I mean, when you're the politician, you talk, then everybody analyzes it, picks it apart. That doesn't happen, at least not with reporters, for a sermon. But how often do you have the opportunity as a non-preacher to talk for 30 minutes with nobody else interrupting or saying, hold on just a minute, you've been talking a long time, let me share my thoughts? It's an unusual profession in that sense. But it is a trap if ministers get so used to talking that they begin to carry that into their other world and they start pontificating then. And I have seen it happen repeatedly.
Can you be a little bit more specific on some of the damage that this may do in a church?
Well, I think of one fellow recently. I was actually hired to work as a consultant in his church. And I said to him, you are a very good talker. Unfortunately, you're not a good listener. And because you don't know when to stop talking, it's getting you into trouble with your people. And you don't seem to understand how they're turning you off. And he said, well, give me an example. I said, well, you had the chairman of the board explain what was going to happen in terms of a church service. He talked and he did an adequate job for probably 2 minutes. Then you got up and talked and re-explained what was going to happen. It took you probably 4 to 5 minutes. The truth is, you didn't have to say a word. You could have just remained quiet, but you were unable to not talk because he forgot to say something. But the truth is, what he forgot to say, it really didn't matter that much. So you were in a position where you could have remained quiet, it would have been to your advantage, but you weren't able to do that. That was a problem for you. I don't know whether he heard me or not, but I also have thought of many experiences. I remember one pastor, and I would say of all the people who have ministered to me over a period of my lifetime, he was probably one of the most effective. But he began to lose his effectiveness with me because I found in situations even outside of the pulpit, he couldn't not talk. He felt compelled to talk. So when we were in a small group with him, my wife was kind of excited. We can be in a small group with, and she named who he was. There were three other couples plus the minister and his wife. I found that over a period of time, it was just another occasion for him to pontificate. And that's an unfair word, because he was really quite learned. But there were also other people in the room who were learned. And as soon as you start to say something, he would interrupt, and he had to somehow show how skilled he was in terms of his verbal assets. And at a certain point, it became annoying to me. And I said to Karen, I don't want to go. She said, well, why? I said, because nobody gets a chance to say anything except for so-and-so, the pastor. And the truth is, he's very smart, but he's not smarter than all the rest of the group combined. And he just did not know how to close his mouth. This is an interesting thing. I think because he had gone all through seminary, and a lot of ministers have finished their seminary and further getting degrees, one of the things they should teach you in seminary is listening skills, because most ministers would do much better if they would know when to say, okay, I've talked enough, now I just have to listen. But it's almost like I can't stand listening because I can say it better. Watch me. Listen to me. You know, it's like I want center stage. Put the spotlight back on me again. Oh, now I feel good. I feel the warmth of that. And those are all overstated, but I'm sure there are ministers listening to me right now who have not only heard David Main say what he's saying, but have heard the Holy Spirit say. And if not the Holy Spirit, I'm sure their wife has said, you should not talk so much.
Yeah, or because, husband.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, or husband. Thank you. And maybe even it's harder then because men are less tolerant of women talking more than women are of men talking more. But I just thought to myself, man, it would be good if somebody could just say, you know, just hush for a while. Try to go through the whole evening and don't say anything. And the truth of the matter is, I think that people would still be more than willing to sit for the 30, 40 minutes on Sunday and listen to the sermon. But they don't want sermons apart from that, if that makes sense. So listening is important, okay? It's important. I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me, and I'm talking to whoever's listening to us. We don't understand, but outside of the pulpit, it's not time for a sermon anymore.
One of the things you said really gripped me when you said that the minister often will feel compelled to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It strikes me that that is a serious problem that the minister has to face and ask himself or herself the question, why do I feel compelled to speak? Thinking back in my own situation, where God has been extraordinarily good to me and he gifted me with a pretty keen mind, and there are certain things that I tend to grasp much more quickly than other people. And even as a very young person, I could see through things and see things more clearly sometimes than the older people around me. But because I was young, I was not granted respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell into a habit which persists to this day and gets me into trouble with people, in that in talking, I feel I have to justify the background that I have and say, this is my background, and this is why I can speak authoritatively
and
on
why you
subject.
Should pay attention to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now at almost 67 years of age, that's a really annoying thing for people that are in conversation with me. And God has brought it to my attention, and I've had to ask myself, why at this advanced age do you still feel that insecurity that you need to justify your right to speak? Well, similarly, a pastor needs to say to himself or herself, why do I feel compelled to speak? And you touched a little bit on it in the idea that maybe some people need that spotlight. But I think there can be other reasons, and it's important for pastors to identify within themselves what is the need that they have that's driving certain aspects of their personality that may, in fact, get in the way of their effective ministry.
Yes, clues. When the elders meet or the board meets or the session meets or whatever it happens to be in your given setting, who talks most? Is it you as the minister, or do the people get an opportunity to share their own thoughts? I think that's where a lot of ministers get in trouble, outside of the pulpit, in the board meeting, in the small group. When you're just in conversation with people, do you see if there are people who are not saying anything, and do you try to draw them into the conversation, or do you ignore them and just keep talking? You know, have you ever had a time when you've talked and you've noticed that somebody's eyes are rolling? Those are huge clues that you are talking more than you need to. Just be aware of it as you listen to us talk. Be aware that that could be a problem. I think that within the ministry, what we're saying is that the person's strength can also be a weakness if you're not careful. So use it as a caution. Watch yourself. Ask other people, do you think sometimes I talk too much? If the answer doesn't come immediately, oh, no, not at all. If it's just people just wait a long time and then say, well, you know, maybe, you know, take those as clues that the Lord is speaking to you and saying back away. It's also true that you can learn a lot by listening, learn a whole lot by listening. And so just be one of those who says, at this point in my ministry, even as I continue to hone my skills as a speaker, Lord, help me to the same degree hone my skills as a listener. Listening is a very good thing.
We often talk about the fact that to be effective as a pastor, particularly in formulating sermons, a pastor has to have a sensitivity to where his or her people are. And you don't find that out unless you listen.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah.
Outside the pulpit, ministers need to work more on their listening skills. We're so glad you joined us for this SermonCoach.com podcast. You found our podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where we have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and also to create effective, life-transforming ministry in your church. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.